From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now, and the mayor of Killeen, Texas, which neighbors Fort Hood, says it would be unreasonable to expect security on the base to be any tighter than it is. That's just one of many reactions today after last night's shooting, in which the alleged gunman, Ivan Lopez, killed three people before taking his own life. And there are a lot of questions today, including how solid are the gun restrictions that were put in place after the last Fort Hood shooting in 2009.
The senior officer at Fort Hood said Ivan Lopez used a gun he bought off base and was supposed to register according to rules enacted after the deadly 2009 massacre and a wave of suicides at the base. But the officer said that Lopez did not register that gun. Sig Christensen is a longtime military reporter for the San Antonio Express News. He's at Fort Hood. He joins us on his cell phone. And Sig, we really appreciate it. What is the tone there today?
I think people are pretty grim about it. This has, of course, the feeling of 5/11, as they called it, the day when Naid al-Hassan killed 13 people and wounded 32 others. It's a pretty solemn scene. A lot of media, probably more than were here that first day, and I was here for that.
Well, there was a call for sweeping reform after that day, that last shooting in 2009. But is there a sense that anything can be done if somebody wants to get a gun and do something like this? I mean, what is the thinking there?
Well, we wrote about this issue after the Navy Yard shooting because bases like, Joint Base San Antonio Lackland has three bases, and tens of thousands of people drive onto those bases every day. Tens of thousands of people drive on to Fort Hood every day. We have installations like that all over the country, and most of the people who are serving in the military own personal firearms, and they're very skilled in using them. To adequately police that problem, you would have to search every single car physically.
Mm-hmm.
That really is not a very possible thing to do. It's not the sort of thing that can be done without creating really serious impositions on traffic and basically preventing people from getting to work on time.
Yeah. You mentioned the Washington Navy Yard shooting. That was in 2013, and it was then that there was, and coupled with the 2009 Fort Hood shooting, there was this call for this reform, and there was this ban instituted in Fort Hood. People have to register privately owned weapons with a security office, and they have to keep them in unit armories, and we see that if somebody wants to bring one in, they absolutely could for the reasons that you expressed. There was also a call for a better screening to try to identify potentially violent soldiers. There's supposed to be a scientifically based list of behavioral indicators of potential violence. Today's Washington Post talks about a pilot program. But what is the sense that this might have helped here?
Oh, I'm not sure the science is there on that sort of thing. You're going to predict somebody is either capable or likely of doing a mass shooting. Unless you hear someone talk about doing violence in that way, in a clear, threatening manner, I don't know what the science is that's going to somehow get you to the point where you can accurately predict that kind of bad behavior.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty difficult thing. And you also run the risk of stigmatizing people who have a lot of issues but aren't going to be violent in the least. There is something that people should be very clear about. A lot of troops, and a lot of reporters, by the way, have post-traumatic stress disorder from covering conflicts and being in them.
In fact, we're hearing from the doctors who treated some of the victims that they, in fact, had PTSD.
Oh, well, yeah, because if you can imagine this, say you worked in the combat support hospital in Baghdad or Balad in 2006 and 2007, thousands of people streamed through there with serious injuries. They're trained to deal with that sort of stuff. But over time, how do you think it affects people? It is a cumulative effect. It's bound to weigh on people's minds and their hearts. And so what? Do you brand everybody who's got PTSD a potential mass gunman?
Well, I'm saying
really that isn't going to work.
I'm saying in this case, the irony is that the many of the gunman's victims had PTSD when he gunned them down, according to the doctors. But Sig, one quick question that's been bothering Army Secretary John McHugh says that Ivan Lopez did not see combat, was not injured, but we understand he self-reported a traumatic brain injury. Do we know about anything more about that discrepancy? He seemed to be claiming an injury.
He did, and General Milley last night said that he self-reported a TBI. But there was nothing in his record to indicate he had been in combat, and nobody has clarified the point. All McHugh has done is reinforced what Milley said. And so that leads me to believe that if he had a TBI, nobody has yet to explain how that happens. Yeah. If he was not in combat, it isn't very likely he could have had it.
Yeah. Sig Christensen, military reporter for the San Antonio Express News there at Fort Hood today, a very somber place today. Thanks so much for checking in with us.
Thank you.